We're holding on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We talked yesterday about the case where a person buys a field from somebody else but and doesn't pay him the entire amount. To begin with, he pays him only a down payment on it. So we talked about, does that mean that he, what are the cases where he acquires the entire field and just owes the rest, versus what are the cases where he acquires only the percentage that he paid for? So the last thing we pointed out was that there's a difference whether I over Nofik Azuzi, there's a difference whether the seller is badgering him for the rest of the money, showing, in other words, that to begin with, he sold it only because he needed the money very soon. So then, in that case, we can say he wouldn't have intended to sell the entire field just for that the guy is going to pay him later, because that defeats the purpose. He needs the money now. Therefore, the guy would only acquire a percentage of the field as much as he paid, unless they wrote in the shtar explicitly otherwise. On the other hand, if it's not Iov Nafik Azuzi, then we can say indeed he acquires the whole thing and just owes the rest of it, because then the guy is not in such a rush to get the money. So we talked about dinim in that. So now the Gemara says a similar din for Omar Rava. Hai man de oisfe mea zuza v'chavre, a person lent 100 zuz to somebody else, upare zuza, and the other guy paid it back one zuz at a time. Peroin havi, it is considered a payment, meaning, in other words, the guy can't say, the malva can't say, no, you have to pay it to me all in one lump sum. But he is entitled to tarumas. He is entitled to have a valid complaint against the other guy, which we've talked about in the last few days, what the implications of that are. It would mean that the guy maybe is not Yotzi Yedei Shamayim. It would mean he'd have to ask Mechila, etc. Because you can tell him, I've said Tinu Minai. You've caused me to lose it. When you get, psychologically, when you get a large amount of money at once and you put it away, when you get it a little bit at a time, then you tend to spend it as it comes, and therefore I didn't really get the full use of the money. But nevertheless, it is a valid payment. What this has to do with the previous din, the Rosh explains, because the same way as we said, when he pays half the payment on a field, so we said he's coined of the field and he repays him the rest later on. So we see that it's possible to repay a loan not all at once. With that said, though, that Amar brings that if we're talking about if he pays him before the deadline, once it comes the time when he's supposed to pay, then he has to pay the whole thing, and then the malva would have every right to say that I want it as one lump sum. Okay. The Gemara says, continuing with this din about selling something and not getting the full amount for it yet, there was a person who sold chamra to somebody else. Now, the word chamra in Aramaic can, in Gemara terminology, can be punctuated one of two ways. It can be chamora, which means a donkey, or it can be chamra, which means wine. Here, Rashi translates it as a donkey, and the Ritva points out, and various Achronim point out as well, the reason why Rashi finds it important to mention that it's a donkey, why can't we say that it was wine, is because if it was wine, then there wouldn't be a question. You could divide it. You can say, I'm not going to give you the full amount of wine. I'm only going to give you a percentage of it. And therefore we could say he only acquires part of it. As opposed to when it's a donkey, it's one thing. You can't really divide it. Then we have to talk about whether he acquires the whole thing or not. That's according to the Ritva, and the Maharam mentions a similar point as well. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who understand that Ramban and the Ram bring that there are Rishonim who understand that it does mean chamra and wine, and that means wine. In fact, the question is, do we say that he acquires the entire consignment of wine, or maybe we could say, since it's easy enough to split it up, then maybe he only gets part of it. Anyway, so uposhle chad zuza. So he had paid all of the value of the chamora, the donkey, or the chamra, the wine, as the case may be, with the exception of one zuz. The seller is going back and forth and nudging him to pay him the extra zuz. Yosef Rav Ashi v'kama ayin bra ki hai gav namai. So Rav Ashi was sitting and looking into what would we say in that case? Koni or lo koni? Would we say he's kona because he paid almost all of it, all that was lacking is one zuz, or was he not kona all of it because of that one zuz? So again, if you say that it was a donkey, then the point is because the donkey, which is indivisible, then maybe we would say he really did, even though he's eye over nafik azuzi, maybe he does mean to sell him the entire thing, and just the guy is going to owe him the zuz, and he's nudging him, when are you going to pay me that zuz, but it doesn't affect the sale. Or would we say that it means that he doesn't want the sale to actually be completed until he receives that zuz? But again, according to that way of looking at it, if it was wine, there'd be no question. All it would be is that the other guy would have acquired an amount of wine equal to what he paid for. That's according to the Ritva, and again, according to the Ramban and the Ran, it's the other way around. That if it's wine, we would ask the question whether maybe he is getting the whole consignment of wine or not. But when it's something like a donkey that you can't divide, no question, he would acquire the whole thing. Omele Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi. So Rav Mordechai says to Rav Ashi, Hochi Omer Avimi Mehagrunia Mishmei Derava, that Avimi Mehagrunia said the following din in the name of Rava that's relevant to this din. Zuza Kizuzi Dami. Having one zuz lacking, as in this case, is the equivalent of having many zuz missing, v'loi koni, so therefore he's not kona, and the seller could back out of the deal until the guy pays the other zuz. Omelet of Achabred of Yosef and of Ashi, Vahamin and Mishmei de Rava, koni, but of Achabred of Yosef says to Rav Ashi, what do you mean? Mordechai is reporting that Rava had said that one zuz missing is still enough to prevent the sale from going through. Don't we say in the name of Rava that when there's only one zuz missing, he is koina? Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers him to Dagim Shmaitach. You can explain that Rava's din, when there's one zuz lacking, he's still koina. But Moshe Sadeh Lepnei Rasa, when he's selling its field because it's bad. So before we were talking about where the field is decent quality and usually he would want to hold on to it, and usually the only reason he'd be selling it would be because he's short of money, because he needs the money for something else or whatever. Here we could have Taket, he's selling the field because he wants to get it off his hands. So therefore, even if he didn't receive the whole payment, then still, even though I owe him nothing, Kazuzi is just, he doesn't want Taket, he doesn't want you, the Lakea, to change your mind and say, you know what, I realize this is a bad quality field, forget it, let me have my money back and take back your field. So therefore he wants the remaining zuz so that the sale should completely go through, but not that it wouldn't go through, not that he doesn't mean to have it go through from his point of view, regardless, even though he hasn't gotten that one last zuz. So in that case, then we would say that the one zuz doesn't block the sale, but in other cases, such as the as far as the wine or the donkey over here, we would have to see whether it was Mepnei Rasa, which actually Tosfa says in that case it wouldn't only be one zuz. It would actually be, even if it was a lot of zuzim, the same din would apply, that when Moshe Sadeh Mepnei Rasa, we don't care about the fact that he's eye over Nafik Azuzi, because that's only because he wants to make sure that the other guy is not going to back out of the deal. We talked about yesterday in connection with Mechiras Chometz, this matter the Alter Rebbe brings up the point of Ayel v'Nofek Azuzi, that for that reason, if you're selling directly to the Goy, as they used to still do in the Alter Rebbe's times, then you have to have an Arev Kabbalan involved in order to avoid the problem where you want the rest of the payment from the Goy. So, like we said yesterday, the Sadeh Chemed brings up the point, isn't it after all, isn't it like Moshe Sadeh, Mepnei Rasa? You want to get rid of your chometz. You certainly don't want the chometz in your possession over Pesach. And therefore, based on what we're saying over here, the Ayol and Nafik Azuzi shouldn't matter. And there are various Acharonim talk about that, nevertheless, it still does matter. It's true that you're Moshe Sadeh Mepnei Rasa. On the other hand, the fact is you do want it. You certainly wouldn't accept if the Goy were to say, I'm going to pay you back the down payment years from now. We're talking about the whole concept of selling the Chiras Chometz in bulk like that to a Goy came about because people had their entire capital tied up in Mashke, for example, that they were going to sell throughout the year, and therefore the fact is they do want the money from the Goy at some point. So it's not completely Moshe Sadeh Mepnei Rasa. There is an element of that you want the money, not so much so the Goy doesn't back out, because you yourself need the money in order to be able to continue running your business. So then you have the point that then you have the point of I open up a Kazuzi, and therefore you have an order of Kavlon to avoid that. Okay. The Gemara continues, Pshita. Now, it's obvious the following din, by way of introduction to another one. Boy was a buni b'meya. What if a person wanted to, was willing to sell, if a person needed 100 zuz, so he wanted to sell a small piece of land of his that's worth 100 zuz. Boy Ashkach, he couldn't find anybody who wanted to buy a field that size. V'zabin b'masayim, so instead he sold a larger field of his that's worth 200, b'ka'ayov nafik azuzi, and now he hasn't received the full 200, and he's going back and forth and asking the guy to pay him the rest. There's no question, loikoni, there's no question the other guy is not koine, because for sure there was he had no intention in the first place of selling that larger field, so he might actually want, in fact, he might actually want that was al kocha. He might say, you know why? I want the money because I want to be able to buy another small field instead. Like this, I had to sell a larger field of mine, which I would prefer not to have had to do that. Instead, I want to be able to use the money to buy a smaller field. So that's the equivalent. So therefore, that's I over nafik azuzi. Therefore, the other guy is not koine. And at any time the moicher can say, you know what, give me back my field, I'll give you back my money, I'll give you back your money, and that's that. Ella, the question rather would be, e boilers a bunny the mayor, the other way around, if he wants to sell a small field for 100, if he wants to sell one of his fields for 100, veloy ashkach, he couldn't find anybody to buy a field that size, people only want bigger fields, the e torah. But if he would put some tircha into it, if he keeps on looking, have a mashka, he would be able to find somebody. Instead, v'loy tarach, instead he doesn't bother looking around for more potential buyers, v'zabin v'masayim, so then he sells a larger field for 200, v'ka'ayo v'nafik azuzi, and he's going back and forth to get the rest of the money. Now, the question is, what would be the din in that case? Is that the equivalent of selling a field because it's bad? Where we're saying that therefore the Ayo v'nafik azuzi doesn't prevent the sale from going through. In other words, we could say because he could have, it's a matter of that he could have put in the extra tircha and he decided not to put it in. And you know what? Let me just find somebody more easily who'll buy a larger field. So that means, in other words, that it's not so much that he wanted to keep that bigger field in the first place. Therefore, we can consider it mipnei rasa. And therefore, we would say the fact that he didn't receive the entire payment yet doesn't prevent the sale from going through. Oloi, or maybe not. The fact is that he would have preferred to sell the smaller field. It's just that there was tircha involved in finding a new buyer. So what would be the din? The Gemara says teiku. We can't prove one way or the other. And therefore, the result is that so we can't be sure whether in that case he actually acquired the entire field or whether he acquired the entire field or not. We could look at it either way. We could say that he did acquire the entire field, or we could say that not, that the other guy acquired only that he could say that if the seller wants to back out, then the buyer could say either give me back my money or give me a percentage of the field. So in fact, because you have the suffix over here, the fact is you do have a degree of kinyan. So they're showing him, say, the Rambam, the Ravid, the Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that neither one of them at this point can't change their mind, because after all, the idea is there is the Ritva explains, there is after all a definite kinyan over here. There was the other guy was machzik in it, or chalifin or whatever, and here you have a suffix, whether the sale went through. So ain't suffix mochi midei vadai. The suffix of whether the remaining money prevents the sale from going through can't take away from the vadai. And the Ritva also talks about what happens if the only kinyan was this kesef. We're talking about land, after all, where one of the three valid methods of kinyan on it is kesef. So then we would say the lakeah has to bring a proof, and if not, then we would say karka b'cheskes ba'ala imedes. Then we would say that we go according to the chazaka of who owned the karka so far, meaning that the moshe would be able to say that the sale didn't go through. Okay, all of that is All of that is the gusa that we have in front of us. Of course, Agra brings a different gusa that the Rambam has. That to begin with, the question is that the question is not so much when he when he sold a larger field instead of a smaller one. Rather, the question would be that Rambam formulates the halacha as talking about a field that's worth 100, and he managed to find somebody to buy it to buy it for 200. So then we would say that, then we could say that in a way that's like Moshe Sadeh with Nei Rasa. He wants the money as soon as possible before the guy realizes, you know what, I got swindled over here. I ended up paying twice as much for a field as I should have. So therefore that the Eye of Anofik Azuzi might prevent the sale from taking effect. Okay. Getting back to the Mishnah now, this was all a bit of a digression from the, because the Mishnah had said the kolachozabo yodalatatona, and we said one meaning of kolachozabo means in connection with that, with a sale where one or the other of them wants to back out of it. So now the Gemara continues. The Mishnah had said socher asachamur vesakadivahola. We had a case where you hired a worker and they quit the job in the middle, but the difference is that it's a davar ha'avod. It's something which needs to be done urgently, as the examples in the Mishnah, for example, to bring pieces of wood or flutes for a chasana or for a levaya, whatever. Anyway, so we said, so now, because it's an urgent thing, he's allowed to hire other workers at their expense, or he can mislead them. So the misleading them we explained before means, in other words, that he would tell them, come back and work for me and I'll pay you extra, and then in the end he doesn't actually pay them that extra. What does it mean, seicher aleihem? So it means, in other words, he's going to hire other workers and charge that to the original workers. So ad kama seicher aleihem, up to what point, up to how much can he be paying the new workers and make the old workers pay for it? Rav Nachman ad kidei scharan. So Rav Nachman says only as much as the original workers would have been paid at this point. So meaning, in other words, it actually explains, let's say that the workers already began some of the job and they weren't paid yet. So then, in other words, whatever it is that he would have owed them for the rest of the job is how much the maximum amount that he can hire new workers to finish the job, but not more than that. The braisa that we had before, and I involve him in Bayes, said that he could hire new workers even if they cost 40 or 50 zuz, which is far more than he was going to pay the original workers. So Rav Nachman answers him, Kitanya Hishabosa Chabriba Liyadai. That braisa is talking about where the Bala Bais has their bundle of in his hand, meaning in other words, it's normal that the umnim, the craftsmen, very often when they accept on themselves they're going to do a certain job, then they bring their tools to him they bring their tools to him. So now he has those tools in his possession. Therefore, he's allowed. Therefore, that's considered now that it, as if like he has that. So he has those already in his possession. Then, in other words, then he can use that as a basis for saying, well, look, these tools are worth 40 or 50 zuz. So therefore, on that basis, I can hire new workers, even if they cost 40 or 50 zuz, and use your chavila and use your bundle as payment for that. Tosfos actually asks, and in that case, it's poshut, and Tosfos gives a couple of answers. First of all, you might argue that it's only an asmachta, because if they bring the tools over there, it's not necessarily that they're guaranteeing that he can use those tools in payment of the thing. It may mean that they're you might say it's only an asmachta, and therefore, so no, the braisa is saying it's not an asmachta, it's a full commitment. Whether because different rishonim talk about because it's a job or ha'avod, or because they're able to go and finish the job, so therefore we learned before that one definition of an asmachta is when it's out of their hands. Or the point is, Tosfos says that the other possibility is what we mean is that you could say when they're giving their tools, Tosfos is explaining, and so are many other mafoshim, the reason why it works is basically on the grounds of a mashkin. Rashi is pointing out that it's a normal thing for the workers to bring their tools to his place. But it's not so much that they, it's not so much that they normally bring, that they normally bring the tools as if like we should have them ready when we start the job. It's more a matter of they're giving it to him as though it was a mashgun. So then in that case, so again, one way of looking at it is you could argue that this mashgun is more like, is more like an asmachta, and therefore we're being told that no, it's not an asmachta. It's a full fledged commitment. In fact, there are Rishonim who say exactly that. When you give over something as a mashgun, then even without any other kinyan, you're already chayav to pay. So therefore, yeah. So on the other hand, so anyway, Tosfos is saying over here, maybe you could say the nature of the mashgun that they're giving is that they're saying, fine, we understand you can hire other workers for the same amount that we would have paid for, not necessarily, but not necessarily the entire value of that mashgun, and we're saying that no, nevertheless, he can still do at the entire value of the mashgun. There are Rishonim who learn actually that usually giving a mashgun doesn't make him obligated to pay, but in this case, it's basically because they're considered mazikim, because their quitting is going to cause him a hezek, because here we have a davar ha'avod, and therefore for that reason he'd be allowed to take their possessions, and therefore the point is again that it's not so much because of the din of a mashgun, but because of the din of a mazik. And therefore, even if the new workers are going to cost far more than the old ones, he'd still be entitled to do that on those grounds. Okay. Mishnah says, "Asocher es hachamor lahu lichay bahar." If a person rents a donkey, now that we talked about hiring workers, now we're going to talk about the other way around, where somebody rents an animal from you, and what are your obligations as the owner of the animal? So the Mishnah says, "Asocher es hachamor lahu lichay bahar." A person rented a donkey with the understanding that he was going to have it go on a mountain road, and instead he had it go in a valley, or the other way around, he was supposed to take it in a valley, and instead he took it on a mountain. Even if both ways are the same distance, or even Tosfos says, even if the one that he went on was actually shorter, chayv umesa, and the animal dies, chayev, then he would be chayev to pay. You wouldn't say that it's considered mesa machnas malacha, because each one has an advantage, and each one has a disadvantage relative to the other. As we're going to see in the Gemara, when it comes to going on a mountain road, it's more of a strain for the animal to climb up the mountain. On the other hand, a valley has a valley, the air there is a lot denser and more humid, and therefore you could say that affected the animal's health. So the point is, he was Mishana, he did something different, so therefore he'd be chayav to pay. A linguistic point, by the way, over here. We have printed the word lahilichoy in Lashon Zachar, but there are a number of Rishonim that have the girsa lahilichcha with a, it's supposed to be lahilichcha to bring it, Lashon Nekeva. So Rabbeinu Yohanesen points out that we find in Pesukim as well, where even though on the face of it, Chamur is Lashon Zachar, nevertheless we use Lashon Nekeva in connection with it. So, on the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, you could say that maybe the Lashon Nekeva goes on the word behema, which is indeed Lashon Nekeva, rather than on the word chamur. Anyway, so the point is, we're saying again that because he did differently than what he had agreed with the owner of the animal. Now, if they hadn't agreed on anything, if they had just said that I'm renting this animal to take on a trip without specifying where, then he'd be potter if it dies on the way because Mesa Machnas Malacha. He specifically said, I'm going to take it on a mountain road, or you could have the owner of the animal told him, don't take this animal, is used to the mountains, take a davka there, and instead he took it a different way. Anyway, so therefore we're saying he's chayav. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, if he rented the donkey with the intention of taking it along the mountain road, and he took it on the valley, then it depends what happened to the animal. If it slipped while it was on that journey, Potter, then he'd be Potter from paying for anything that happened to the animal, because it's more likely to slip on the mountains where it's high elevations, and it could easily slip and fall. So therefore, by taking it in the valley, he made it much less likely that it's going to slip. So therefore, it would be considered an onus, and a socher is potter from onus. The Gemara is going to ask why it is that here we're that in the ratio we didn't make that distinction, and the safer we are. So we'll get to that. On the other hand, if the animal got overheated, chayev, then he would be chayev for anything that happens to it, because the valley is hotter and more humid. So by bringing it over there, he made it more likely that the animal was going to be affected by the heat. And if it was the other way around, the deal was that he was going to take it in the valley and instead he took it on the mountain. So then the other way around, if it slipped, then he'd be chayev to pay, because then he made it more likely that it's going to slip on a slope like that. But if it got overheated, potter, then he would be potter because it's less expected that it should get overheated on a mountain, because after all, the air there is it's more windy over there, and it's less likely that the animal is going to get overheated. On the other hand, but if it became overheated on the mountain because of the strain of going uphill, then he would be chayev, because then we can say that it's true, the mountain air itself is cooler and clearer. On the other hand, the fact is the strain of going up the mountain itself caused it to be overheated, and therefore he can be chayev for that. So Tosfos points out, now you can have, in other words, exactly that. You can see when the animal reached the top of the mountain, it wasn't sweating or anything, so obviously it was able to climb without any problem, then you would know that it wasn't Huchama Matnas Amayla. And then later on, if it starts getting overheated on the mountain, then you can say that's an oinus, as opposed to when you see that it was straining and sweating going up, then that would be different. Then you'd know that it was Chuchma because of the climbing up the mountain, and the deal was you were supposed to keep it in the valley, and therefore there'd be reason to be Mechayim him. Tosfos also deals over here with the issue that we learned back in Hamaskid of Tchilosu B'Pshia B'Sofer B'Onus, where you have started out by doing something careless with the Pikadin, and then in the end it turned out that it was injured or damaged or whatever because of an onus. Now, over here, to begin with, you could argue that when he took the animal up the mountain, he's being pesheya because it's more likely that it could slip on the mountain. And if it had slipped, he'd taka b'chayev. So why should we potter him just because instead, unexpectedly, it got overheated? And so Tosfos explains over here, similar to what they explained earlier in Hamaskid, that we only say tchilosu b'pshia v'soif of onus chayev only when the onus has something to do with the pshia. Here, where the pshia and the onus are two completely different things, because in the end it didn't slip, it rather got overheated, then even that opinion would say that he's potter. And Tosfos goes and discusses that point a little bit. Continues the Mishnah. Hasocher sahamar, a person rented a donkey, v'hivrika, and the animal hivrika. Now we'll see in the Gemara two possibilities what hivrika means, but in any case, the point is that the animal is barely usable still, but not really. To put it in modern terms, let's say you might have that you rented a car, and now, for example, let's say the engine's not working properly, so you can still run it, but you're limited to a maximum of 30 miles an hour, let's say. Ocean Nasus Angaria, or another possibility that the animal was taken away for Angaria. Angaria is forced labor for the government. So you would have, and back then, the way it was that when you were going along with your donkey or whatever, the government agents could come at any time and tell you, you know what, this donkey is needed. We need right now a donkey for government work to transport something for the government or whatever. So here we're taking away your donkey from you. They might pay him for it. They might not. It might be a temporary thing. It might be a permanent thing. We'll see all about that in the Gemara. Anyway, the owner of the animal can say to the renter, you have yours. You keep it as is. In the case of the hivrika, means you're going to have a harder time driving the animal. But nevertheless, you're still going to have to do that. You'll have to go to the tircha. The Gemara is going to give two explanations of hivrika, that it went blind or partially blind, or that it has a disease in its feet. Either way, it can still go, but you're going to have a harder time driving it on the road. Fine, but you're still going to have to do that. I'm not obligated to provide you another dunk. As far as Angalia, we're talking about that it's a temporary Angalia, so fine. You're going to be held up for a little bit, wait until they finish using the donkey, and then they'll return it to you, and therefore I'm not obligated to provide you another donkey. It's your mazel, basically. Mesa Nishbarab, on the other hand, if the animal dies or gets broken and you can't use it at all, Chayav Lahamid Lechamer, then the owner of the donkey has to provide him with another donkey, because after all, the deal was that he was going to rent a donkey to do such and such work, and now the donkey is completely unusable. Okay. So the Gemara says, Maishna Reisha de Loi Kamasi Gumaishna Sefer de Kamasi. Why in the Reisha does it not distinguish between, it just says that he was supposed to take the animal on the mountain, instead he took it in the valley, and he said he's chayim for anything that happens to it, and it doesn't distinguish between why it died, whether because of heat, which would be more likely in the valley, or from climbing up the mountain, or whether from slipping, which is more likely on the mountain, or Mishna Sefer to come out. Like, why in the next part of the Mishnah does it distinguish between whether the animal slipped or overheated or whatever? So there's a few answers. Amud Dvei Rav Yanai. So the first answer is, Rav Yanai, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav Yanai, Reisha Shemesa Machmasat Ma'aver. In the first case of the Mishnah, we're talking about there was no slipping, but it died because of the air itself. The air itself over there was bad. There was no overheating, there was no slipping, it just died on its own. So the owner of the animal is able to say, you know what, it died because of the air that it wasn't used to. This animal is used to being in the valley, and now you took it on a mountain, which is the air, which is an area that it's not that it's not used to breathing that kind of air, and therefore it was bad, for it, or vice versa, for it usually lives in the mountains, and instead you took it in the valley. Now, so Rashi is saying that the owner of the animal can say that, meaning, in other words, it doesn't even need to be. So in other words, so first let's finish the line in the Gemara. Amrinan, the owner of the animal can tell him, Avira Dahar Katla, the air of the mountain is what killed it. Amrinan, or we can say Avira the Bika Katla, that the valley, Amrinan, or we can say Avira the Bika Katla, that the air in the valley killed it. Now, according to Rashi, it doesn't even need to be that we know that the air is different. The owner of the animal is able to make this claim, and we would have to pay attention to that claim, and therefore on that basis we would make the sofer pay. That's according to Rashi. So in other words, even the master is only making a tainas shema. He's only saying, I don't know for sure that the air is different, but it's possible to say that it was, and therefore that would be reason to be mechayev him. As opposed to, again, when we see that it's a matter of overheating or slipping, where there we would say, as the Mishnah goes on to say, that it depends whether it was in the valley or the mountain. Tosva says, on the contrary, it means when we know that that particular day, the air quality was different in the mountain or was different in the valley. Let's say, for example, it was snowy or it was rainy or whatever. So therefore, that's chilosa sefer b'pshia. You could say, to begin with, he took it someplace where the air quality is known to be different that day, and therefore he shouldn't have done that, and therefore he's chayim. So according to Tosfos, it would have to be that the owner is arguing a tainus bari. I can show you for a fact. I can show you from the weather reports or whatever that day the air quality was different in the mountain versus the valley. So that's the point of Tosfos. And then the Ritva says that it could be that we know that it's really more, we look at the animal itself. When we see that the animal, when we know that this particular kind of animal is the kind where a difference of air quality is going to cause it to die, then the maskil can say that I know for a fact that this kind of other quality of air is bad for the animal, and therefore yes, as opposed to the sefer is talking about where he doesn't know that. So you have three different opinions among you showing him what exactly the claim is. Anyway, that's one answer. Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina gives a different answer. You could say that the case in the Reisha of the Mishnah is where the animal died because of the strain of going uphill. So now, the strain, either way. So now, when he took it on the mountain, you can say it was the strain of climbing up the mountain. So that itself started having a bad effect on it. And later on, yes, you're walking on top of the mountain. It's already, the strain is over, but nevertheless, it was already weak from before. So now it couldn't handle the burden. And then, therefore, it all came together, and therefore it all died. And when it comes to taking it in a valley, You could say, Rashi explains, even though we didn't see the animal sweating, or it wasn't a particularly warm day or whatever, you could still say that, you know what, still, had it gone on a mountain like it was supposed to, it would have been able to cool off over there, and now it wasn't. So therefore, whereas in the valley, the air was a lot more humid and stale, and therefore weak, and therefore tired out the animal. So according to Rabbi Yossi Ben Chanina, we'd be talking about specifically where we see that the animal was tired, and then later on we can talk about that the extra strain that started with that. So later on, it died while it was carrying the burden, and you can argue it's Mesa Machnas Malacha, but nevertheless, since there was that strain at the beginning, that's Tzulasa B'Pshia, and therefore we would say Soifa Ba'onis, and we would say that therefore it's a reason to be Machayev him. Actually, Tosfos says, even if we say Tzulasa B'Pshia, but Soifa Ba'onis Potter, in this case over here, we can say he did something very different. If he had taken at the place where he was supposed to, then the animal might not have gotten tired out from this strain, and therefore there's a reason to be machayev him. And the third answer, Rabba Omakunchi Kishan Nachash. Rabba says a third answer you can say is that a snake bit the animal and died. And we're talking about where snakes are more likely to be in the particular place where he went. Depending on the type of snake, some of them are more likely to live on the mountains, some more in the valleys. So in the Reisha, since it was a snake that bit it, then the owner can say, you know what, if you had gone the other way, then the snake wouldn't have been there, and therefore it wouldn't have died. Okay. So those are three ways so far of explaining the difference between the Reisha, where there's no distinction made, how the animal died, versus the Sefer, where we distinguish whether it died because of overheating or because of slipping. So now a fourth point also, Rav Chiya Bahava Omer Rav Yechanan, Palmani Rav Meir. You know what? Another answer you could say is that the Reisha and the Sefer are according to different Tanoim. All this time we're assuming that it's all according to one Tana. Now, Rav Chiya Bahava is saying that actually you could say the Reisha, which doesn't draw any distinction, would be specifically according to Rav Meir, the Omer, where he says, Kol Amavra Al Das Shabbal Abayis, anybody who goes against what the Balabayas had wanted him to do, Nikra Gazlon, is called a Gazlon. So therefore now, in other words, so we don't consider, according to the mayor, that it would be a case of a Soicher anymore, where Soicher is Potter from Onus and Mesa Machnas Halacha. Rather, we would consider him like a Gazlon, who is Chaya for anything that happens to the animal, as we learned in Rava Kama. So therefore, we could say, even though in the end it wasn't, so even though we don't have to say that, So we don't need any of the answers before that the animal was obviously suffering from strain or that there's a difference in air quality between one and the other, or it was bitten by a snake. Just the fact that the owner told him take it only on the mountain and instead he took it on the valley is reason enough for him to be called a gazlan according to the mayor and to be chayiv and everything. With that said, Maram Shif says it would adapt have to be from a mountain to a valley or vice versa. If, for example, the owner told him, go on this mountain, and instead he went on a different mountain, that wouldn't be a reason to be Mechayim. So the Gemara says, hey, Reb Meir, what statement of Reb Meir, what opinion of Reb Meir do we find that he says that concept, kola mishanami das balabayis nikur gazlan, kola mavral das balabayis nikur gazlan, that we can apply that to our mission? Elaymer Reb Meir de Tzaba, are you going to say Reb Meir's opinion when it comes to a dyer, when a person gives wool to be dyed, and the guy dyes it differently, the Tanan, which we learned in a Mishnah in Baba Kama, person gives wool to a dyer, telling him to dye it red, but Tzava Shocher, and instead he dyed it black, or Shocher with Tzava Odom, we told him to dye it black, and instead he dyed it red, Reb Meir Oymen Noisen Leid Meit Samrei, Reb Meir says that the mayor says that he gives him back the value of his wool, meaning because he was koina the wool, and therefore he doesn't return him the dyed wool. Instead he has to give him the value of the wool that he gave him. Rabbi Yehuda said we have the dyer does not acquire the wool, But yod elachatona, as we learned in the previous Mishnah. So therefore, imashvach yoser alitzia, if the improvement in value of the wool is greater than the expense that he put into it, noisan loisaitzia, then the owner of the wool only has to give him his expenses. Vimaitzia yiser alashvach, and if the expenses is more than the increase in the value of the wool because of the dyeing, noisan loisashvach, then instead he only has to give him the shvach. So to use the example that we said the other day, let's say, for example, you could have where the guy's investment in raw materials, in wood to fire up the vat, and then the dye itself, and whatever, was $5, and the wool has improved in value because of the dyeing it, even though it was the wrong color, has improved by $7, then he'd have to give him only $5. On the other hand, if the improvement in value was $7, and the expenses of wood and dye and so forth were $10, then he has to give him only $7. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not actually acquiring the wool. He has to return the dyed wool to the Balabayas, and the Balabayas compensates him at the lesser amount of those two, because Yad El Atachayna. But according to the mayor, we're saying that the owner does not get back the wool, just the value of it. Doesn't that mean, in other words, because the mayor would say, since the dyer dyed it a different color, he becomes a gazlan, and now, therefore, he's acquiring it. So would that be a case that proves that kol mishana that kol amavra das balabais nifur gaz. So the Gemara says not necessarily mimai, not necessarily is that because he was mavra das balabais doma shiny hosim dekani b'shimi mais. It's different over there because there was an actual shinui that he did on the wool, which therefore he can be koneh with that. So therefore you could say that that's reason enough, not so much because he was Mavir al Das Balabais, but because there is an actual irreversible change to the wool over there. And as we learned in Bava Kamma, a change to something is generally enough to be koyneh. Actually, the Ramban and the Ran point out, now we learned in Bava Kamma, it's really only when you have a gazlan that you say that. If we're saying, according to Rav Meir, he's not a gazlan, then why should he be coded with shinui maisa? The reason is for the fact that it is a maisa with which a gazlan would acquire something, so therefore we could say fakir. We could say maybe he davka meant. So like this, Rav Meir was saying just the fact that he was Mavar al-Das Balabais is enough to make him a gazlan. The Ramban and the Ran explain, in other words, he might deliberately go and dye it a different color, and Rav Meir would take the view that he's doing that in order to become a gazlan and acquire the wool itself. And then the Ritva says another point that when it's a real shinui like that, then Rav Meir would consider it a gazlan even if he doesn't mean that. A nafkamina between them, an obvious nafkamina might be if he did it mistakenly. According to the Ramban and the Ran, we would say he wasn't koneh because there was no intention to be a gazlan. According to the Ritva, maybe it wouldn't make a difference. Anyway, the point is there's no necessary proof from there that Rav Meir would hold kol amavir al das balabais is automatically nikur gazlan, because in this case the shinui is a reason to say that there's that the dinim of a gazlan apply. Ela hora meir de magdeves purim. Rather, maybe we can say that we're talking about the din that Rav Meir says in connection with collecting money from Atonis Le'Avyonim on Purim. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Mageves Purim L'Purim, when you collect money, the Gaboi Tzedaka of the city, go and collect money to be able to give out to the poor people, to be able to buy a Purim Suda, L'Purim, it has to be used specifically for the needs of Purim, namely for them to make their Purim Suda. Usually when you give tzedakah, the gaboi tzedakah have discretion of what they can do with the money, but here we're saying that they dafka have to give it for the purpose of the sudas for him. And magiva se'ir lo'osa ir, and when you collect in one city, it dafka has to be given to the poor people of that city. The in medaktikin redover, we're not particular on it to say, you know what, it's enough that, let them buy cheap food with it, and we, the Gaboi Tzedakah, will use the rest of the money for something else. No, we have to use all the money to get them a very generous Suda. So what we do is, the Gaboi Tzedakah will use all the money, and they'll buy calves with it, which are good quality meat, and they'll shech them and give them to the poor people to eat. If they have leftover meat, if the poor people don't eat all the meat, then fine, then the rest of that money can be put into the general tzedakah fund, and they can use it for other purposes. So they have to try to make sure that all the money is spent on food for Purim specifically. If in the end there's something left over, then they're allowed to use it for a different purpose. There's a sicha where it ever touches on this in Chelek Tesayin and makes a point that the mitzvah of Matanas Lev Yonim on Purim is not really like the mitzvah of Tzedakah the rest of the year. It has a specific purpose to be mesameach them, and therefore that result in this din that you can't redirect it for something else. The Braisa continues, Rabbi Yezer Omer, Magebes Purim Purim. Rabbi Yezer also says, starts by saying that the collection of tzedakah for Purim has to be kept for Purim. The difference is, right, in what ways? You're arguing with Tanakama. Tosfos says the Tanakama is talking about the Gabori tzedakah. They have to be careful not to redirect the money for some other purpose. Rabbi Eliezer is talking about the poor person himself who was given the money for Purim, specifically for his Suda, then he can't go and unilaterally change it for something else. Ve'ina oni rashoi likach mehen with suela sandolai. The poor person would not even be allowed to use that money to buy himself a shoelace. Elin ken hisna b'mayim et anshei ha'ir, unless he makes a tznai in the presence of the people of the city, the shiva tuvei ha'ir, the vada kohol, basically, that he's going to use the money for something else, and they give him permission, but otherwise not, he has to use the money that he received for Mageves Purim, where it was supposed to be used for his Suda, then he has to daftly use it for his Suda. Divir Rav Yaakov Shomim Shomer Meir, and that's what Rav Yaakov says in the name of Rav Meir, that was Rav Meir's understanding of the Machlokes. On the other hand, Rav Shimon Gamliel Mekel, on the other hand, Rav Shimon Gamliel is Mekel and saying that the Gaboyim or the poor people could redirect the money for whatever they want. So that's what Maharsha says. The reason why we're sticking in over here, Rav Yaakov and Rav Meir in the middle, means, in other words, that Rav Yaakov is saying in the name of Rav Meir, this is what, that you should know, that Rav Eliezer and the Chachamim argued and said that like that. Actually, the Maharshal said, the Maharshal brings this braise, it's also brought later in the Masechta, and there it doesn't mention anything about Rabbi Eliezer, so he wants to say that there seems to be a mistake over here in the way it was written in the Gemara, but no, Maharshal says there's no need to change anything. What it means is, in other words, that the fact that the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer said such and such is only appointed of Yaakov in the name of Rav Meir. So later on, when the Gemara brings this braisa again, you don't have that particular detail. It doesn't mention Rabbi Eliezer because they were talking only according to a different version where Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim did not have that on. Anyway, the point is that Rav Meir was saying that you can't do anything different. You were given the money for the Suda Sportim. It has to be used for the Suda Sportim. So therefore, so that on the face of it, that means why? In other words, because if you were to use it for something else, you'd be Maver al Das Balabais. The Balabais told you to use this money for Suda Sportim, and you'd be using it for something else instead, and that makes him a Gazlan. But the Gemara says that's not a proof. Dilma Hosam Nami, maybe you could say over there, the reason is that died to the Purim only they had in mind, they specifically gave it to him only having in mind Purim. They didn't give it to him having in mind that he could use it for any other purpose. So therefore, in other words, if he uses it for some other purpose, not a matter of him being a gazlan. If he uses it for some other purpose, then he's not putting that money in the first place because the condition was that he's going to use it for the Purim. So it's not but a general thing that you can say that Amavra Das Balabais Nikul Gazlan, but only in this specific case because they gave it to him. They gave it to him with that particular intention. And if he uses it for some other purpose, then the money remains in the chazaka of the original owner. Okay, the Gemara says Ela Horem Meir. Rather, we should say that we can learn that again when Rav Chiya Ba'aba is saying that a Meir says Kol Amavra Al Das Ba'abayis Nikur Gazlan. Where are we getting that from? So we can say it's another din that Rav Meir says. The Tanya Rav Shimon Alazoyim Rav Shimon Meir Hanosin Dinner Only Likach LaFollow. A person gives a dinner to a poor person to buy him a shirt. Lo Yikach Boy Talis. Then the poor person is not instead allowed to say, you know what? I'll buy a talis with it instead. Talis, lo yikach bei choluk, or the other way around, if he gives it to him to buy a talis, he can't instead use it to buy a shirt. Mipnesha maver al daita shabalabayas, because he's going against what the balabayas told him. So we see that a mayor holds that just the fact that he's maver al das balabayas is reason enough to make him a gazan. So the Gemara says, why? The Dilma shiny hosam to also the michshadei. Why? You could say, you know what? There's a very good reason why he can't change it over there. Now, Now, the Maharam Shif adds, he says, okay, why can't we say before? Because just like with the Magevis Purim, where we gave it to him specifically for the purpose of using it for the Purim Soda, the difference is exactly that. When you're giving Matanas Lev Yonim on Purim, you can expect that the people are giving it to him Davka to use for his Purim Soda. When it comes to other things, maybe you could say, the fact is, a person is not necessarily Machbid, that usually you are allowed, after all, to redirect the Gaboy Tzedakah, in particular, can redirect Tzedakah funds to a different purpose. Here also, you could say, maybe it's not so bad. He's buying a talus instead of a holuk or something. Are you really going to mind that much? Nevertheless, your mayor is saying that the fact that you did differently isn't the fact that he did differently is enough to brand him a gazlan. But the Gemara is saying maybe not. Maybe the difference is that also the meshaday. People might suspect the balabais who gave him stuff. The Amni Inchi, people are going to say, Alma Plani is of Ninale Lavusha Laplani Anya. Here, Plani, the balabas, said that I'm going to buy a garment for Pliny, the poor person, the Loizovanle, and here in the end, he didn't buy it for him. That would be, in other words, if he said, I'm going to give you money for a talus, and now people see that the poor person does not, in fact, have a talus, so they're going to suspect that the Balabais didn't follow through with his commitment. They're not going to realize that the Oni instead used the money to buy a shirt, Inami, or the other way around, Zavinale Glima. Actually, Lavusha would be the shirt, a Zavina like Glima, or that the Malabas had said, I'll buy him a Glima, which is another word for a talus, Voli Zavinle, and in the end he didn't buy it for him. So the reason we could say, not because I'm Avir al Das Balabais, but because he's causing a chshad on the Balabais. I think Mara says, in Cain, if that was the only problem, listening to Pnei Chshad, then the Braisa would say that Rav Shimon Elazar was saying you can't do that because of chshad. What does it mean instead? When you're saying because he goes against the word of the Balabais, that means only because he changed it, even when there's no concern of chshad, so therefore, yes, that proves that Reb Meir holds that. So now, Reb Chiya Ba'Abba says, applying that to our Mishnah then, Reb Meir is going to say that just by virtue of the fact that he was supposed to take the animal on the valley road, and instead he took it on the mountain road, or the other way around, is enough to make him a gazlan, and therefore to be chayiv and oinsin, unlike the other answers, whereas in the next part of the Mishnah, we're talking about according to other Tanoim who would disagree with her mayor. And again, the other answers don't require us to say that. They could say, well, the Mishnah goes according to the Mishnah, the entire Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim, and just in the ratio, you have other reasons to be mechayev him because we see that the animal was strained, or because there was something involved in the air, whether we know for a fact that there was a difference in air, or whether he can claim that, or whatever, as we said before, the three-way machlokas were showing him, or because we see that the animal was strained, or because it was bitten by a snake. But Reb Chiya Ba'Abba's answer is saying that we can say that you don't need any of those answers, and rather Reb Meir would say even when none of those considerations apply, still just the fact that he went against Das Balabais is enough to make him a gazlan. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, we said a person rented a donkey and hivrika. So we said the owner can tell him, keep the animal and manage with it as best you can. I don't have to supply you another animal. So my hivrika, what does this word hivrika mean? Here in bubble, they explain it means nohivrisa. Means that the animal went blind. The word Nahubisa literally means light, so it's like Loshan Sagi Nahar himself, which means a lot of light, is so called as a euphemism rather than saying that he has all darkness. So the same way over here, Hivrika would be related to the word Borok, meaning lightning, would mean, in other words, like a flash, so it would mean, in other words, that the animal is suffering from some kind of blindness. It's not completely blind, but it's partially blind. Rashi uses a word over here that's translated as a French word. That means literally as if there's a curtain in front of its eyes, so like it can't see so clearly. Anyway, that's one answer. Rava Omar, Rava gives a different explanation of Zakas, that the word Hivrika of our Mishnah means where the animal is suffering from, that the animal is suffering from avzokas, which means that the word avzokas is also related to the word bozok, which is another word for borok, meaning lightning. So that would explain that why the Mishnah is using the word behivrika, but the word avzokas means worms that are attacking its feet. So therefore, again, it can walk, but it's having difficulty walking. And the Gemara tells in that connection a short story involving this avzokas. Hahuda Amalahu, there was a person who once said, Avzakas for Milsa de Malka. There are worms. I saw worms or moths eating the silk clothes that are in the king's wardrobe. Omri le b'mai, so they asked him which kind, b'tlei kesef or b'tlei zahav. Did you see them in the silver garments or in the gold garments? Rashi explains silver garments would be so first of all, Rashi explains milsa de malka means the silk clothes, although actually the Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out often in the Gemara milsa actually means fine wool. Why don't we explain that over here? And especially wool is much more likely to be attacked by moths than silk. Well, after all, the silk itself is produced by moths. Anyway. Rashi says then that that silver ones would mean the linen garments, which usually linen back then was not dyed, because it was hard to dye linen with the technology that they had then, or in the gold kalim, meaning in other words it would be in woolen kalim that would in woolen clothes that were dyed red, which is a reddish goldenish color. So ikadami betlei kesef amar. Some say that he replied that he saw it in the silver ones, in the white linen garments for kaplua, and therefore they said you stand talking nonsense, and therefore they executed him because moths don't attack the linen garments. The ikadami betlei dahav amar. Others say that he told them that it's taking place in the dyed woolen garments, the shabkua, and they left him alone because then that's fine. It's normal. For moths to attack woolen garments, and therefore they realize he's telling the truth. So there's a number of other different explanations. First of all, the Aruch brings over here that we're talking about this wasn't Stam a person. This is the person who's in charge of the wardrobe of preventing it from getting eaten by moths. So if he says that it's the linen garments that were attacked by moths, then that was Pshia. It's not even normal for moths to eat that. So you must have been very careless to allow the moths to breed there for so long to the extent where they even started attacking the linen. Whereas if he says that it was the woolen garments, okay, listen, there's only so much you could do because it's normal for them to be eaten by moths. Tosfos, on the other hand, brings a different girsa. The word is not milsa de malka, but rather mimulsa de malka, which would be the king's mules. And according to that, then, the avzokas is again like a, so again, we just said that avzokas can mean where worms attack the animal's feet. So here it would be similar that he's saying that he saw a worm, that he saw that the king's mules are suffering from this kind of attack by worms. So now when they ask him to play kesef, to play zahav, they mean, are we talking about the white mules or are we talking about the reddish ones? And then if he says the white mules, he's in trouble. Tosfos doesn't explain why. Maharam Schiff says because maybe they knew that these kinds of worms never attack the feet of white mules, only of colored ones. So he tells them colored ones and he's telling them the truth, but otherwise he's stand hacking them a chain. There's yet other explanations. The Ravid says that actually we're talking about that he's saying that the avzokas over here means that they became rusty, and tlei kesef would be clothes that are interwoven with silver thread, and tlei zahav would be kalim that are interwoven with gold thread. So then in that case, silver. So again, we're talking about, evidently that Ivan understands that we're talking about that he was the keeper of the wardrobe. Silver can easily tarnish or rust. So in that case, that was careless of him to not prevent that before it became so widespread. On the other hand, gold normally doesn't rust. So therefore it was an onus and therefore they left him alone because there's nothing much that he could have done. The point is, we see from this that avzokas means some kind of attack by worms or rotting away or whatever, and therefore, so Rava is saying that an our Mishnah Hivrika means that the animal is suffering from a condition like that. Then we said in the Mishnah. Oishin Nasus Angaria. We said if the animal was taken as Angaria, it was taken for government service, Oimar Haresh Alacha Panecha, then that's another case where the owner of the animal can say Haresh Alacha Panecha. I'm not required to give you another animal. It's your mazel, basically. So Omar Rab Loishanu Elaban Gaia Chazeris. That would only apply only if the Angaria is going to be returned to him. So in other words, the government officials are taking it for a day or two, and then they're going to return it to him. Avon Gaia Shaina Chazeris, but if it's never going to return to him, they're taking it completely, and they're never going to return it, then it's the equivalent of it dying or whatever, Chayim, Lahamed Lechaber, then the owner is going to have to give him a new, a new animal, because now it's the equivalent of the animal dying. So when it's on Galia Chazeres, he's going to be delayed a little bit, but nevertheless, that's not a reason to give him another Chamer, Tosfos points out. The same way as we just said Hivrika, even though he has to take the animal more slowly, because now it's suffering from an eye disease or a foot disease or whatever, and can't walk as fast. Nevertheless, you can say, Harei Shalach Lefanecha, the same way over here. You're delayed by a day or two because of Angalia, not my problem. But if it's Angalia She'en Chazeres, then Rav says that he would have to provide him another donkey because now it's the equivalent of the animal dying or being broken or whatever. Or Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says it doesn't make a difference. Bein Angalia Chazeres. Bein Angalia She'en Chazeres. Doesn't matter whether it's going to be returned or not. The difference is rather, in Bederech Halicha Nitla, if it's being taken in the same direction where he was going. So meaning, in other words, the Angalia official was saying, I'm taking this animal for the king's service, but I'm taking it in the same direction that you were going anyway. So either way, then the owner can tell him Harei Shalach Lefanecha, because that's how it is. In other words, basically, Rashi explains the way it would work with Angalia is they're going to take your donkey for a while, you're going to walk together with it, and when they find somebody else with a donkey, then the Angalia official will take the next one and continue on the road and give you the original one. So you can say it's your mazel, so it's fine. You go rent another donkey and follow him, and that way you'll have something to transport your goods, and soon enough the Angalia official will find another donkey, and then you can transfer your goods back to this one and continue. That's a point of Rashi. Tosfos has a different Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel a different explanation. Derech Halicha would be where the Angalia officials are not searching people's houses. They're just, whenever they see somebody walking on the road with a donkey, then they can seize it. So then we can say, Harei Shalach Lefanecha, it was your mazel. If you had kept the animal at home, then it would have been taken. So even if it's Angalia She'en Chazeres, the difference is that here we can attribute it to the mazel, as opposed to when the animal died, then you can say, like we said earlier in the Masech, the Malach HaMavus Mali Hossam, it's not my mazel, the animal was destined to die at this point anyway. Anyway, so according to Shmuel, if it's Bederech Halicha, again, according to Rashi, we're going in the same direction, or according to the Tosfos, bringing from Rabbeinu Hananel, if the officials are taking from people on the road, but not in the houses, then he can tell him, and I'm not obligated to give you a new animal. If it's not b'derech halichasa, they're going in a different direction, according to Rashi, or they're even going and searching people's houses, according to Tosfos, then Shmuel would say that he does have to provide him another donkey. So, the Gemara says, Mace, we have a contradiction. A Braisa says, if a person rented a donkey and Hivrika, either of the conditions that we said before, the eye or the foot disease, or the animal went crazy, and again, now you can still use it to carry burdens, it's just going to be harder, because now you have to be more careful to be on top of it so it doesn't wander off the road. The owner can still say, and I'm not obligated to give you a different donkey. But the Braisa says, Meso Shanasat Angalia, if the animal died, or it was made into Angalia, Chayav Lahamad Lechamur, then he has to supply him another donkey. So, Bishlem, Lerav, Lekasha, now appointed. Now, on the other hand, the Mishnah had said that when it's Angalia, he says, Harei Shalach Lanecha. The Braisa is saying, when it's Angalia, he supply another donkey. Bishlem, Lerav, Lekasha, so according to Rav, it's not a problem, Kanva Angalia, Chazeres, Kanban Galia Shein Chazeres, because the Mishnah is talking about where he's going to get it back. They're only using it for Angalia for government service for a short time, and then he's going to get it back. The Braisa is talking about where he's never getting it back, and therefore the Braisa is comparing it to the animal dying. El Shmuel Kasha, but how would Shmuel understand it, where Shmuel says there's no difference between Angalia Chazeres and Eina Chazeres? The Chitem of Shmuel Nami Le Kasha. And you're going to say, you might say that according to Shmuel, there's no problem either. Because the difference will be whether it was on the way that he was going or on the road versus in a different direction or even in the houses, the distinction that Shmuel had said. But the problem with that is, Katani Seifa, the Braisa, though, continues, Reb Shimon Elazar, in B'derech HaLichasa Nitla, Reb Shimon Elazar says it was taken B'derech HaLichasa, Oymalai Harei Shalach Lepanecha, V'im Lav, and if not, Chayiv Lahamed Lechamer, then if not, then he has to supply him another donkey. Mekab, Dela Tanakama, Loi Shaini Lei, implying Tanakama doesn't hold of any such distinction. So how would Shmuel understand the Braisa? his opinion would work according to the Pshimin Elazar, but how would he explain, what would he say, how the Tanakhama holds? So the answer is Amalakshmu Lav Ki Ika Rabshim Amil Koi Kavasi. Well, very well. You have the opinion of Rabshim and Elazar who agrees with me. I know that me to Rabshim and Elazar. I'm saying like Rabshim and Elazar, I don't have to hold like the Chachamim. I'm entitled to hold like Rabshim and Elazar. It's true Yochad Rabim, usually Alocha Kerabim, but I'm entitled in this case to say that I find Rabshim and Elazar's logic more compelling and I follow it. Another way, another way you can understand is maybe the entire Braisa is according to the Pshimin Elazar, but Chassurim Nechzera, you could say the Braisa is missing words, but Hachikotani, maybe it means to say like this, if the animal Hivrika all went crazy, then the owner can tell him, tough luck, you keep the animal and you manage with it as is. Meso Shanasa Sangaria, if it died or was taken as Sangaria, then he has to supply him another donkey. But here's the part that would be missing from the Braisa. When would we say that with Angaria he's not entitled to get a replacement donkey? Is only when it's not Mederach Halichasa, when he's going in a different direction according to Rashi, or when they took it even from his house according to Tosfos. But if it was taken on the way, Divir Reb Shimon Elazar, Shahoy Reb Shimon Elazar, Omer, because Reb Shimon Elazar would say, in b'derech halikasa nitla, hilucha nitla omer l'arishal chachanecha, v'im lav chayv l'ham l'loy chamar achar, you could say Reb Shimon, the Braisa, in other words, it's not two different opinions, it's rather the Braisa is mentioning that distinction of derech halikasa or not, and then stressing Reb Shimon Elazar is the one who makes that distinction. But the Gemara asks, how could you say that the Braisa is talking, is appointed of Shimon Elazar? The Braisa begins, was saying that the animal suffered from Hebrika, or it went crazy, then he says, in a different Braisa, that if you rent a donkey to ride on it, and the Hebrika Oshinashatza, Chayv Lahamid Lechamor, then he does have to supply him another donkey. So here the Braisa is saying that you don't, and Rav Shimon Elazar says you do. So obviously then he's disagreeing with the Braisa. And the answer is, Omer Ravabarabhun, a Luke of Aler Shine. It's different when you're talking about to use the animal to ride on. You can't ride on an animal that's Hebrika Oshinashatza, because it might throw you off or whatever, because it's weak or it's crazy or whatever. But here, before we were talking about where you're carrying packages on it, then you can say, Aray Shalom. And the Gemara finishes. You should know that if he rents the animal in order to carry glassware on it, is also the equivalent of Luka Valea, and you would have the same din that we would say that if the animal Hivrika or goes crazy, then you have to supply him another one, because if the animal falls down, the glass is going to break, so therefore he would have to supply him another one. But if he's carrying other kinds of packages on it, then we would say, Harei Shalach Lefanecha, as the Mishnah had said, and he could say, you manage with the animal as it is, it may be a little harder than normal, but nevertheless, you have to manage that, and I'm not obligated to supply you another donkey.